things before. Shortly after that, I went to work with another supervisor who was a very fine person as well, but very controlling, very dictatorial even. And I eventually found how easy that work was. All I had to do was do what he told me to do. I never had to accomplish desired results toward any other areas. So if he'd tell me something, I'd say, "You bet, I'll be happy to." And then I'd go and do my thing, find my satisfaction somewhere else. I tried to do the best I could, but there was no creative opportunity, no learning opportunity, and I felt totally disempowered, so I found most of my satisfactions off the job, not on the job. And all the people around this person did the same thing. They accommodated his style. One man was very proactive. He learned how to compensate for this leader's weaknesses, and where the leader had that style, he would study what he needed to do and gradually anticipate the president's needs, fulfill those needs until his circle of influence got larger and larger. He eventually ended up running the operation with this leader, and they became a powerful complementary team. So in other words, even though his boss was not empowering, the recipient of the delegation was so proactive and so inwardly secure that he took the initiative to create the realm of empowerment for himself. I hadn't done that, see, when I was working with the president, but this man did. And it was a powerful model to me. It's these kinds of experiences that help me contrast control and empowerment and really help lead to the development of these seven habits, that the key is an internal self-control, a self-empowering process, which leads eventually to the natural emergent empowerment